What for you is the definition of church? What is the definition of church? Anybody who wants to be the first person to answer this question? What is church? And don't be afraid. Probably every one of your answers are going to be right in some way. But what is church? Okay, so we got two over here. So let's. So I want this so that the live stream audience can hear it as well. All right, what you got, Rachel?
When I think of church, I think of the people. So I think of the church as a group of people, actually.
Group of people. All right. Group of people. Good answer. All right. What do you got, Sandra?
The same thing.
Same thing.
A group of people. And we can't see the board from this.
You can't see the board?
No, sir. Not at
all. Okay, so I'm going to try to shift the board, but we have these lights here, okay? So let's see if we can do this in a way. Patrick, how is that? Say again? Are we good? Can you see it that way? It's just not... Oh, I'm not writing big enough? Is that the problem? Okay, all right. I told you, this is high-tech stuff, right? You want me to increase the font? Is that what you're saying? All right. So a group of people. Anybody else? Because the Bible talks a lot of different things about church. Okay, I got one over here.
Bride of Christ.
Okay, what'd you say? Bride of Christ? Bride. I'm just going to put... This is not dark enough. You know what? This may actually not work. I may have to write it down myself. Let's see here. Can y'all read that? Bride. All right. Next.
The church is the congregation of the people that are called out of the world.
Congregation.
To believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The word ecclesia, the called out people. The people, the congregation of the people that have been saved and delivered from sin by the power of God.
All right, good answer. Called out people. The Greek word ekklesia, which is what is used for the word church. I love that. Two more. Okay, one right back there, Ava. Right behind.
Church is the togetherness of people with like minds, and when we come together, we create a bigger bond for the same purpose.
I like that too. Yeah, togetherness. All right, and let's see. So, one more. Okay, here we go. Freddie?
I said the church is family.
Family. Okay, family. Wonderful. All right. Now I want to ask another question. Why do you go to church? Why do you go to church? All right, so Dawn's in the back there, so let's... Hey, JT, you're my runner, not walker.
I come here because it gives me an opportunity to learn the Bible and to kind of go throughout my week to know what I need to kind of look at and where direction and, yeah.
Okay, how many of you come here primarily to learn the Bible? That's one of the chief reasons why you go to church, is so you can be taught the Word and learn. Can I see a show of hands? Okay, fantastic. All right. Why else do you come? Anybody else? Okay, right here, Abraham?
Growth and purpose.
Growth and purpose.
That's good.
Okay. I like that. All right. Two more. Who else? All right. What do we have here? All right, Betty?
To connect with like-minded people.
To connect with like-minded people. All right. And then right over here with Miss Betty, please. All right. And to worship.
To worship God.
To worship God. Great. All right. These are all fantastic answers. Oh, one more. Where? And we had somebody on this side. So let's... Is that... Who else?
Lori.
Right here. Lori, what?
For the biscuits.
And that, my friends, is the right answer. Okay, let's go over here to all the way over here to the far end, and then we'll come right back. That was an awesome answer. I need to write that here at the top. Biscuits. You know what? I think I'm running out of markers here. Biscuits. There we go. Thank you.
To be filled with love and show love.
To be filled with love and show love. Go over to Larry over here. Filled with love. These are great answers. All right. Filled with love and show love. I'm just going to put love. How about that? I'm running out of space. This will be the last one.
Larry? Okay. Two part. To forsake not the assembly, but also to serve.
To serve. To assemble together and to serve. Okay. I'm just going to put this up here. Assemble and serve. Okay, awesome. Isn't this interesting that we have a lot of different answers about church, what it is, and why we go to church? Thank you, JT. You want to go ahead and share real quick?
Okay. Yeah. To learn how to live in the kingdom of God.
To learn how to live in the kingdom of God. Okay, fantastic. All right, that's it for the audience participation part, and we're going to get right into it. So I wanted you to see that different people have a different focus a lot of times, you know, and actually the church, as it's talked about in Scripture, you know, let me just read a couple of things to you that I think will be helpful. Look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. Look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. Now, this is an introduction today, and so you're going to learn what it means to be part of church, what God defines as the church, and as I said, all of these answers they're all right. Okay, so there's not a wrong answer. I think that even the biscuits will find its place, and I actually think that scripturally I can show you that. To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God, might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. Okay, so right off the bat, we see that there is a definition here that talks about the church, not a church. Okay, so I'm just showing you some things in Scripture so that you can recognize, because what happens is people sometimes will get very narrow-minded about a definition or the definition of church. So to begin with, when he's talking about the church, he is actually talking about the collection, if you will. Thank you, John. If I need that, that'll work. The collection, if you will, of the universal body of believers, if you want to call it that, or group of believers worldwide. We together, if you have put your faith in Christ, if you have come into and have become a child of God, we together make up the collective church, what is called the church. And there is a purpose for the church that we are all members of and that we are all a group of. Okay? So let's start there universally. Then let's take a look at the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 11. The book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 11. This is Jesus that is talking, and he shows himself to John and says this: I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. What you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches, which are in Asia, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia and Laodicea. So here, Jesus is talking about something that needs to be sent to seven churches. Is that different than the church? No, so it's not wrong. So sometimes people will say, you know what? I don't go to church. I am the church. But actually, you'll see language in the New Testament that, one, it talks about the church as a whole, which we are all members of or part of. And then what it also does is that there are local assemblies, local gatherings, if you will, that's also called a church. Okay? And neither one of them is wrong, and both of them are right. Okay, so you just have to understand there's the church. So we are a local assembly. We are a local gathering of believers that meet together. Okay, and there are purposes for that, and there are reasons for that. And we talked about all of these things. Now turn with me. Okay, I'm just setting some of this up as an introduction, and then I want to focus on one specific thing this morning that I think will be really helpful. Thank you, Jesus. So, go with me over to, let's look at the birth of the church. Okay, so if we want to find out what the church is about, let's look at the birth of the church that happened in Acts chapter 2. So in Acts chapter 2, the Spirit of God was poured out on the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 people got saved. 3,000 people got saved. I mean, that's a pretty good start to a church, don't you think? 3,000 people got saved. And so what happened, and let's go down to, say, verse 38, because they had asked, you know, they had, this multitude, what shall we do? And Peter said to them in verse 38, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Now, I have to at least take a little side note. This was about people receiving the Holy Spirit. And I just finished a series on my friend, the Holy Spirit, and actually who he is and what he means in your life. And there are amazing gifts that he gives, and that's available to every single believer. Words of wisdom, words of knowledge, prophecy, things like that. And so one of the things that we do here at Life of Faith Church is we help people get activated and come into an understanding of what those are. And we do that the first Wednesday of every month. We have what's called Wednesday Activate, and that's coming up this Wednesday, and where it's a safe environment. We'll even turn off the live stream at the end and give you an opportunity to begin to learn how to hear the voice of God and step out, you know, and just, you know, in this family of believers, if you will. And I also have another exciting announcement, because here's what happened. Friday night, we had, there was about 20 people over at our house that's in what we would call the millennial age group, if you want to call it that. And they came over just to hang out, and it's the first time that we've done anything like that. And they said, we want more activation. We want more of learning how to hear the voice of God and how to flow in the Holy Spirit, you know, and can we do more of that? Because last year we did 3 months on Wednesday night of just this intensive activation, and two or three of them said that changed my life last year. That changed my life. How many of you, it impacted your life and it just changed your life? Look at this whole row right here in the back, okay? And what it did to them and the growth that's happened. And so starting in April, we're going to do it again. Okay, so if you want to know how to hear the voice of God, if you want to experience that, I'm talking about practically, we're going to give you that opportunity. I'll teach it. It's a safe environment. It's comfortable. You don't have to worry about people, you know, judging you or criticizing you, but you get to come in and you get to connect with God at a level that maybe you've never done. I did this in 2014 for the first time here at the church, and that 3 months, I promise you, was the greatest time in my life of learning to hear the voice of God. So starting in April, so we're going to do it this Wednesday, but then in April, we're going to do it every Wednesday for 3 months. Okay? That's actually part of what church is about, and I'll explain that in just a moment. But notice here that it says here that, let's bring that back up on screen, please. Peter said to them, repent, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Look at the next verse. And then it goes on to say, for the promise is to you and to your children, to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Next verse. And with many other words, he testified, exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. All right, let's keep going. And those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of biscuits and in prayers. So I think you're scriptural there, Laurie. Let's go back to that verse 42 for a second. I want you to notice this really kind of describes what happens as a gathering of a believer, as a community of believers. It says, number one, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. All right. So what they were doing is now that they came into Christ, they came into to be a part of the body of believers. What they did is they started now going and hanging out together and being apart so that they could learn, which we talked about, so that they could grow, so that they could discover more of what this is they just came into. All right. And so it's important. And can I say this? You don't grow in isolation. Like, I understand we do live stream, and that's amazing. And I know people love to watch live stream, and we want you to. And you can grow some that way, you know, as you read books and as you watch people on television and things like that. And thank God that we have so many opportunities now for the teaching of the word and to grow in our understanding. But I'm going to tell you that your greatest growth happens in a community of believers. Because, newsflash, I don't know it all. I don't have all the answers. None of us do. But what happens is as we come together, there is an amazing diversity that happens. I mean, even in a marriage, you know, one of the things that I learned for years, you know, for years, I didn't learn this, and then I finally learned this, is that Jennifer's opinion actually matters. You know, and so if I had a way that I wanted to do something, I'm the man, which means I'm right. Jennifer, am I telling the truth? Yes, I'm telling the truth. You know, I mean, like, and she would say, hey, honey, have you thought about doing it this way? No, you don't know what you're talking about. I got this and I'll take care of it. Sometimes that attitude can still creep up, like this morning. On the way to church, drinking my coffee. And there was a drip that hit the seat. And Jennifer said, you know what? You'd probably be best not to drink it until after you get to church, because you don't want to spill it on you. What does she know? She answered that question, I know you. Because I'm thinking, I drink coffee every morning and I don't spill it on myself. So what does Pastor Mark do? Reaches down, drinks the coffee, and guess what happens? Kinda messed up there. So things were a little tense for a few minutes. She said, did you not hear what I said? I said, yeah, I heard you. I just wasn't listening. Because I thought I knew better. And I just told her, I said, you know, here's the fact of the matter. You knew better than I did. I should have listened to you. Your opinion was right. Her response was, thank you. What's my point? I'm apologizing publicly, you know, so that everything's good. That's my point. Huh? A good move? You like that? All right. No, what my point is that I learned that actually there she has a perspective and an understanding and an opinion that may be different from mine, and she knows some things that I need to value. And about 9 years ago, as we began to get an understanding of some of these things in the Word, and marriage stopped being about competition and who's right and who's wrong, but it's about living life together, then all of a sudden I begin to value, and we begin to communicate more in a way that then, I mean, it just brought peace to everything. And so even in a situation like that, I can actually joke about it. I can talk about it because it's not about my ego or about my pride. It's the beautiful thing that God did with marriage to bring two people together that would have a different giftings, different approaches. Well, guess what? When you have the whole body and a whole group of people come together, what happens is you begin to get a bigger picture of who God is, because God is too big to be contained in one person. To be figured out by one denomination, to be figured out by one church or one group. We get to do that together, and we miss the beautiful diversity that is in God when we isolate ourselves. But we get to come together and love each other and learn from each other and become, this group of people, you know, and we have this togetherness. And there's something here that nobody said. We're also the body of Christ. We'll talk about that in weeks to come. But let's bring that scripture that we were at right back here for just a second. And we're going to go here for about 10 more minutes and we'll be done. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. So doctrine alone and going to church just to learn isn't the scriptural purpose for this. Alone. And this is huge because I've been part of churches. I grew up in an environment that, you know, that like there's a ditch on both sides. So listen to me very carefully for just a moment, okay? Because we live, you know, we live in the what's called the Bible Belt. And I like to think that Birmingham's the belt buckle of the Bible Belt. There are churches everywhere. There's groups of people everywhere, and actually they say that Alabama, somebody quoted a statistic, is the most reached state in the country. Okay? Everybody goes to church down here, right? And so when I grew up, like in the 70s and stuff, you had churches on every corner, and what happened is it was mostly a social get-together, and in some cases that's still the case today. You just get together because it's the cultural thing to do, it's what you're supposed to do, so you hang out, you eat, you do these kinds of things, but at the end of the day, you didn't actually grow very much spiritually. And then you end up with church splits, and you end up fighting over the color of the chairs and fighting over the color of the carpet and doing all this kind of stuff because different people can't get along. And so why is that? Because nobody was really growing spiritually. They were just hanging out together. And that's not what church is by itself. Because what happens is you only communicate at an emotional and at a natural level. Okay. Now, on the other side, so in the 80s, then you had people like, I'm tired of religion and I'm tired of social hangout. And so what I just want to do is I just want to go to church to be fed. I just want teaching. Just give me the word to be fed. Okay? And so what happened is people would start traveling. Like, for instance, Jennifer's parents and family started traveling an hour away, even to our church, just so that they could get fed and learn the Word of God, because there was no real deep teaching and nobody ever learned the Bible. Nobody's lives were being changed. And so they came in to learn about how to believe God and trust God and learn more about walking with God. But what happened there is that as people were coming from all over the city and things like that, they were coming, they were getting fed, and they were leaving. And they weren't fellowshipping. And there was no community, and there was no... And so even those that got filled with the Word in their families, we've seen divorce, we've seen brothers and sisters that have disconnected and there's been division. And I'm asking, you grew up in the Word, being taught the Word, but why is there still this strife, this contention, and there's not real love that's happening, and it's divided families? Because they were doing one thing, they were staying steadfast maybe in teaching, but they weren't letting that teaching be worked out in community. Listen to me. Teaching and the Word of God isn't given just for you personally to grow. Okay? Let me talk about what it looks like. Okay, let's go over to, let's take that scripture. Let's finish it out real quick. And then I want to show you two more things and we'll be done. And these are the things I'm going to begin talking to you about over the next few weeks to help you get a well-rounded approach to what your part in a gathering of believers, what that means and how it's going to benefit you, benefit your family, benefit your life, but how you're going to benefit others. Okay? They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship together. Okay? So I heard somebody say, what is fellowship? It's two fellows in the same ship. All right? In the breaking of bread. So what does that mean? That means we're getting together for meals. That means there's times that, and we do that with small groups and things. We come together, you know, Jeff and Wendy Thomas, they have, y'all have small group tonight? Not tonight? Next week? You know, they'll have 16 to 20 people go. They'll bring food and they'll get into the Word. So they'll do all of this, right? And there's that fellowship together in community and also in prayer. Look at that. In prayer. They prayed together. So one of the things that how do we do that here at Life of Faith Church? How are we a model for all of this? Well, one, you've got the teaching of the Word of God that happens here every Sunday, happens every Wednesday. You have some small groups and some teaching groups that you can be a part of, that there's no reason that you cannot learn from the Word, that you can actually begin and then in the Apostles' Doctrine. And then fellowship in community, you can begin to disciple each other, learn from each other. If the bulk of your spiritual growth is coming from what I'm teaching you on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night, then you are missing way out. Big time. It's not going to be enough. Like, you can't eat one meal for your physical body and sustain that through the rest of the week. You have to have an ongoing relationship with the Lord where you are being nourished every day from the Word of God. Sunday morning's not going to be enough. It's not enough for me. You know, thank God I get to study during the week and I get to pray and I get to think about. And so I'm constantly ministering and constantly feeding. But that's important that you do that. Fellowship, that's that. Breaking of bread. We do that through small groups. We do that. Sometimes we'll do, every Christmas meals together, things like that. Prayer. How do we do that? Every Saturday morning at 9 o'clock, we have a time of prayer. You could come and be a part of it. 9 o'clock for an hour. It's amazing. We had like 22 people here yesterday for prayer. And the words that people were given was amazing. And so there's an opportunity. This shows kind of what a gathering of believers will do. All right, two scriptures. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. This one I'm going to hit on really next week, but I want to introduce it to you. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. And it talks about Christ, from Christ, whom the whole body joined and knit together. So in chapter 1, it says that the church is the body of Christ. And we're going to talk about what that means as well. Later, but it says, from whom the whole body, all of us, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. It causes growth of the body for the edifying or building up of itself in love. Okay? The body grows spiritually, emotionally, in every area. The body grows only to the degree or to the measure that every part of the body is effective. Not some parts, not the pastor part, not the worship team part, not the greeter part, that every part, there's a gift in you. Out of your belly will flow rivers of living water, the Bible says, and there's something that's in you for the rest of this body. And that when you're not here together, then guess what? Something's missing. Something that is vital. Something that, and some of you may say, well, I don't know what that is. Well, we're going to help you find what that is here at Life of Faith. I don't know how I can help somebody else. You don't know what an encouraging word, just by you showing up and saying, hey, I love that dress that you have on today. Or I love the way you fixed your hair. Or like, if you're here, you're available to minister and to help others. Okay? And so what Satan would love to do is to divide and say, you know what? I don't need to go to church today, or I don't need to be a part. Listen, it's not about how many people we get into the seats. Understand this. It's not about the number of people that are here. It's about what's in you for the people that are here. Did you hear what I just said? Like, as I teach this, it's not about how can we have more people be here on a Sunday morning. It's actually, it's about knowing that every empty seat that's here right at the moment, which are going to get filled up pretty quickly. Get ready for it, okay? But that there is somebody that needs to be in this seat and in the seat next to you. Like, you know, when people come in, what do? They look for the rows with no seats in them, or that no people in them, right? You know what? You probably just need to come in and just start sitting next to people, right? Just come in, and because the person next to you has something for you. Now, I know this isn't what's talked about a lot in church, but I'm telling you, this is a passion. This is the vision that God has for His body. And this is the reason why churches haven't done well in the past, because they don't help the whole body grow. All right. Finally, turn to Galatians chapter 6, last verse. Thank you all for helping me with this experiment today and participating. But in Galatians chapter 6, and this is so important. And then we'll kick off from here next week. In verse 10, Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all. Stop there for a second. Let us do good to all. Part of what we're called to is, I don't care who's in your life, what you're dealing with, at work, whatever. Our job as a believer is to do good. Jesus said, love your enemies, do good to them, you know, that curse you, bless them that curse you, do good to them that despitefully. In other words, the life of a child of God, the nature that is in us now, is to always respond in love and to always do good. Right? Okay? Thank you for all those amens. I know praying for your enemies is not something that, you know, that sometimes it's like, but he's describing what it means. Like, because Jesus prays. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. Okay? And we have Him on the inside of us. But look at this next phrase. Especially. Can somebody say especially? Especially. Okay, so what this means is that we do good to everybody, but there's a special group that we need to focus on a little bit more, that we need to make sure that we're being intentional about what we're doing. Especially to those who are of the household of faith. Household. What is a household? It's a family. It's a family. Jesus said, who are my brothers and my sisters? He wasn't talking about his physical family. He says it's those that keep the word of God. There's one thing more than, and families do things together. Families grow together. Families learn together. And in families, there's different functions in a father and a mother and the children and all of that kind of thing. And so here, as we begin to talk about what is the church? What is its purpose? Look at this. Part of it is to recognize we are a household. We are the family of God. And there should be no division. There should be no judging, and there should be no, well, did you know what so-and-so did, and did you? And I'm not saying that we have that. We don't. We have such an amazing church. We have more love in this church than any church I've ever been a part of. And we just don't deal with stuff. We just don't have problems. And that's a testament to you guys' pursuit of God, your love for Him, your love for His people. And we are watching a community of believers begin to come together over the last year in a way that we've never seen before. Okay, and it's amazing. And I want to encourage you to continue connecting, continue building relationship. There's something in you for somebody else, and there's something in them for you as well. Okay, and so continue to do that. But it says, let us do good to all, especially, say especially, to those who are the household of faith. I would encourage you on a Sunday morning when you're here, look around. Find somebody you don't know. Who can you encourage? Who can you bless? Who can you say, hey, do you want to go out to lunch today? I'd love to get to know you. In other words, just don't come in, hurry up and hear a message, and then go out and do your thing. Find people to begin to build relationship with, okay? Guys, we got to get back to what God thinks of as the church. Number one, it's family. Can you say family?
Family.
You know, as I was studying this, I came across something I wrote back in 2015. May 9th, 2015. I didn't even remember writing this. Listen to this. Our approach to church must change. The voice of God is available for every believer the moment they get saved. All that it takes to hear His voice is a confident expectation in His love for us, an understanding of our righteousness, and a life free from fear and shame. This is awesome. We should not spend years training people through teaching. There's too much learning and not enough doing. Abundant living comes as we walk out God's love in our life. Church can be a place of community, teaching, worship, comfort, and edification. It becomes a place of power out of the love and the unity of the believers. No longer will it be dependent on a man of God, but it'll be dependent on the supply of the Spirit that is in each individual, and that as it will come together in unity to accomplish the will of the Spirit on the earth. We experience the grace of God as we live the life of faith together. Awesome. Guys, that's who we are. That's our church. That's life of faith. We are growing together. We are learning together. We are loving together. We are hearing together. This is a place of purpose. It's a place of destiny. I want to encourage you to be here for the next few weeks as we really dig into this, as you begin to really begin to see church in a different light, in a different way, and why it's important, not that you just attend, but that you connect and that you relate. Amen.